Monday, February 17th, 1986. The chapel preacher is Professor Paul Robbie. His text comes from Genesis 37, verse 1, and his sermon theme, Sojourners in the Promised Land.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from the appointed Old Testament lesson for today, Genesis 37, verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. It does not really look like we live in the promised land, in the glorious kingdom of God. Society does not exactly put the faithful Christian high up on a pedestal. The media does not often honor the faithful congregation. The faithful church does not often make the headlines. Nations and governments make the headlines. The kingdoms of men get the publicity, not the kingdom of God. This obvious fact frustrates many Christians. Many Christians long to have a glorious, powerful, politically strong kingdom on earth. Some even want to wield the sword in order to produce such a kingdom on earth. It even frustrates us. On occasion, I'm tempted to go into a bank and shout, "Hey, don't you realize who I am? I'm a member of the kingdom of God." We feel like Rodney Dangerfield. We want a little respect. A theology of glory would be so much easier, so much nicer, so much more comfortable. A theology of glory would have been much nicer for Jacob, too. As we read Genesis, we see God throughout promising Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them the land of their sojournings. In fact, in Genesis 35, God says to Jacob, "The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I give to you." Jacob already had the land. It was his. But it did not look like it. On the contrary, he was constantly forced to move on from place to place. For example, in Genesis 34, after Simeon and Levi plundered Shechem, Jacob says to them, "You have brought trouble on me by making me odious to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." So he had to move on. Much of his time was spent in lands other than his promised land. So he spent 20 years in northern Syria with Laban, his uncle. At the end of Genesis, we read that Jacob and his family lived in Egypt, where his descendants lived for 400 years. The only piece of ground in the promised land that Jacob actually owned was a burial cave at Machpelah, which Abraham, his father, bought. Not a very comforting source for Jacob. But by all of this, God shows him the way of the cross, the way of hoping against hope, the way of faith. Our text says, Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. It was the land of the Canaanites, not Jacob's, so it seemed. And Jacob then was being taught to hope against hope. God, this Lenten season, also teaches us the way of the cross and the way of faith. As our scripture lesson says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart." God calls us to repentance, to repent of that theology of glory that is so deeply embedded in our natural sinful hearts. And God calls us to faith, faith in the good news of the promised land, in the good news of the kingdom of God. Our text begins, "Jacob dwelt in the land." He did dwell in the land. It was his. That B.C. land pointed forward to a new and greater land, the promised land, the kingdom of God, the new creation. And now because of Christ, we do live in that land. It is ours. Eternal life is already ours. We are already more than conquerors. We are already members of the kingdom of God. Jesus' entire earthly ministry, all of his words and works, gave testimony that the kingdom of God was here among men in Christ. We do live in the promised land because of Christ. In fact, Christ, the seed of Abraham, was cut off from the land of the living on the cross so that we might live in the land of the living. He was removed from the promised land that we might dwell there forever. He dwelt in the land of death so that we might live in the land of life. He went the way of the cross for you. His crown was a crown of thorns. His throne was a cross. His scepter was a nail. And Christ gloriously rose from the land of death so that we might live in the land of life forever. He ascended so that we are already now seated in the heavenly places with him, as Ephesians 2 tells us. We do live in the promised land. But our life in the promised land is a life hidden under the cross. It is ours, but it is ours by faith, not by sight. You might say that we are sojourners in the promised land. We live in the promised land, but as sojourners, awaiting that blessed day when we will live there as native inhabitants. When we will see God as he is, when the theology of the cross becomes the theology of glory, when the church militant becomes the church triumphant. In the meantime, until that glorious day arrives, we live and we work by faith. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus in faith and hope. But will that day come? Yes, it most certainly will. 400 years after Jacob entered into the land of Egypt, God brought his descendants out of bondage and brought them into the promised land. And that same God, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, will bring us out of this bondage in this strange land into his glorious promised land to be with him forever. And so we have true hope in Christ Jesus, the crucified one, for us. May we then pray in faith and hope with the hymn writer. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.